सदाशिवसमारंभाम् व्यास ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। गुणत्रय विभाग योगो नाम चतुर्दशोऽध्यायः। श्री भगवानुवाच परम्भोयः प्रवक्ष्यामि ज्ञानानां ज्ञानमुत्तमम् यज्ञात्वा मुनयः सर्वे परां सिद्धिमितो गताः। परम्भोयः प्रवक्ष्यामि ज्ञानानां ज्ञानमुत्तमम् यज्ञात्वा मुनयः सर्वे परां सिद्धिमितो गताः। इदं ज्ञानम् उपाश्रित्य मम साधर्म्यमागताः। इदं ज्ञानमुपाश्रित्य मम साधर्म्यमागताः। सर्गेऽपि नोपजायन्ते प्रलये न व्यथन्ति च। सर्गेऽपि नोपजायन्ते प्रलये न व्यथन्ति च। मम यो निर्महद्ब्रह्म तस्मिन् गर्भं दधाम्यहम्। सम्भवः सर्वभूतानां ततो भवति भारत। मम यो निर्महद्ब्रह्म तस्मिन् गर्भं दधाम्यहम्। सम्भवः सर्वभूतानां ततो भवति भारत। सर्वयोनिषु कौन्तेय मूर्तयः सम्भवन्ति याः। सर्वयोनिषु कौन्तेय मूर्तयः सम्भवन्ति याः। तासां ब्रह्म महद्योनिः अहं बीजप्रदः प्रत्पिता। तासां ब्रह्म महद्योनिः अहं बीजप्रदः पिता। सर्वयोनिषु कौन्तेय मूर्तयः सम्भवन्ति याः। तासां ब्रह्म महद्योनिः अहं बीजप्रदः पिता। सत्त्वं रजस्तम इति गुणाः प्रकृतिसम्भवाः। निबध्नन्ति महाबाहो देहे देहिनमौ व्ययम्। सत्त्वं रजस्तम इति गुणाः प्रकृतिसम्भवाः। निबध्नन्ति महाबाहो देहे देहिनमौ व्ययम्। तत्र सत्त्वं निर्मलत्वात् प्रकाशकमनामयम्। सुखसङ्गेन बध्नाति ज्ञानसङ्गेन चानघ। तत्र सत्त्वं निर्मलत्वात् प्रकाशकमनामयम्। सुखसङ्गेन बध्नाति ज्ञानसङ्गेन चानघ। रजो रागात्मकं विद्धि तृष्णासङ्गसमुद्भवम्। रजो रागात्मकं विद्धि तृष्णासङ्गसमुद्भवम्। तन्निबध्नाति कौन्तेय कर्मसङ्गेन देहिनम्। तन्निबध्नाति कौन्तेय कर्मसङ्गेन देहिनम्। तमस्त्वज्ञानजं विद्धि मोहनं सर्वदेहिनाम्। तमस्त्वज्ञानजं विद्धि मोहनं सर्वदेहिनाम्। प्रमादालस्य निद्राभिः तन्निबध्नाति भारत। प्रमादालस्य निद्राभिः तन्निबध्नाति भारत। सत्त्वं सुखे सञ्जयति रजः कर्माणि भारत। सत्त्वं सुखे सञ्जयति रजः कर्माणि भारत। ज्ञानमावृत्य तु तमः प्रमादे सञ्जयत्युत। ज्ञानमावृत्य तु तमः प्रमादे सञ्जयत्युत। रजस्तमश्चाभिभूय सत्त्वं भवति भारत। ரஜஸ்தமச்சாபிபூய சத்வம் பவதி பாரத. ரஜஸ்தத்வம் தமஸ்சைவ தமஸ்தத்வம் ரஜஸ்ததா. சர்வத்வாரேஷு தேஹேஸ்மின் பிரகாஷ உபஜாயதே. சர்வத்வாரேஷு தேஹேஸ்மின் பிரகாஷ உபஜாயதே. ஞானம் யதா ததா வித்யாத் விவ்ருத்தம் சத்வமித்யுத. ஞானம் யதா ததா வித்யாத் விவ்ருத்தம் சத்வமித்யுத. சர்வத்வாரேஷு தேஹேஸ்மின் பிரகாஷ உபஜாயதே. ஞானம் யதா ததா வித்யாத் விவ்ருத்தம் சத்வமித்யுத. சோ இன் திஸ் சாப்டர் ஆன் த்ரயஹ குணாஹ, த்ரீ குணாஸ், ஆஸ் ஐ மென்ஷன் மை ப்ரீவியஸ் கிளாஸ், த்ரீ குணாஸ் ஆர் நத்திங் பட் த்ரீ நேம்ஸ் கிவன் டு த்ரீ ஃபோல்ட் பவர்ஸ், மேனிஃபெஸ்ட் பவர்ஸ். அண்ட் வேர் ஆர் தீஸ் பவர்ஸ்? ஆல் தீஸ் பவர்ஸ் ஆர் நாட் அவுட் சைட் ஆஃப் பகவான். சோ ஆல் தீஸ் பவர்ஸ் ஆர் தேர். ஜான, வி ஹாவ் டு சே ஜான சக்தி, கிரியா சக்தி, திரவிய சக்தி. ஜான சக்தி இஸ் தி பவர் ஆஃப் நாலேஜ் அண்ட் கிரியா சக்தி பவர் ஆஃப் ஆக்டிவிட்டி. தென் திரவிய சக்தி பவர் ஆஃப் இனர்ஷியா. இஸ் த்ரீ பவர்ஸ் மேனிஃபெஸ்ட் அலோன் ஆர் செட் டு பி சத்வகுணா, ரஜோகுணா, தமோகுணா. There is no nothing fourth. But these three gunas belong to what? If you say three gunas are not outside of Bhagavan, outside of reality, at the same time reality is free from three gunas. If you say Atma, Atma is absolutely free from three gunas. Atma has no guna. Even though Atma is of the nature of knowing, Atma obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, the abstract reality is of the nature of knowing, is of the nature of consciousness. As consciousness, reality is free from three gunas. There's no guna, free from all gunas. But these gunas, we say, belong to Prakriti. Matter alone has these gunas. At the same time, these three gunas are matter. Three gunas are matter. Three gunas are elements. Three gunas are elementals. Therefore, not only the except Atma, everything in the universe, nothing but three gunas only. Three gunatmakam jagat. Trigunatmakaha prapanchaha, the entire universe, all the elements and the elementals are all trigunatmakaha prapanchaha. Everything is trigunas here. There's nothing which is not trigunas. So every individual body, mind, sense complex also trigunas. A living thing and a non-living thing, everything has trigunas. These trigunas are there in everything. Nothing where trigunas are not there. But still, here why it is separately taught here in this chapter, this triguna, trigunatmika prakriti, the prakriti which is endowed with the three gunas, the prakriti, prakriti is in the form of the whole jagat, means maya is in the form of whole jagat, means three gunas are in and through pervading the all, everything in this universe. And this universe includes also what? Our own body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, our body, mind, sense complex also subject to these three gunas. Trigunatmakaha, dehaha, trigunatmakaha. Therefore, as a human being, every human being is a, we in Tattvabodha also would have studied, is a composite of Atma and Anatma. Means you have to see, the Atma aspect of the individual Atma aspect of the individual is said to be Sakshi aspect. Anatma aspect of the individual is said to be, otherwise said to be Trigunas. So what are Trigunas here? Prakriti Kal, any material product can be said to be a Trigunaha. It has Trigunas. So here, if you see this individual being also, every individual being has these Trigunas. How? There's a Trigunatmaka aspect, the Prakriti aspect, and consciousness aspect. Atma aspect, Anatma aspect. The Atma aspect is said to be Sakshi, Chaitanya aspect. Anatma aspect is Sakshya. Sakshya means the witnessed aspect of an individual is body, mind, and complex. The witnessing aspect of the individual is Sakshi, is a consciousness. So the consciousness is the Atma, we understand. But why it is said here? What is this Ahankaraha? The mere inert body, mind, sense complex by itself is not Anatma. You can't call it. But there, dead body cannot be called an individual. Because the individuality is lost in a dead body. The person who is alive has body, mind, sense complex, which is conscious and sentient. And that is that conscious, the body is conscious and sentient, alive, because there is I sense. What makes this body conscious and sentient, alive, is the manifest consciousness. So consciousness manifests in the mind, and through the mind, which has become manifest in the body and sense organs alone, makes the body conscious, sentient, and alive. So this manifestation of consciousness, obtaining in the realm of thought in terms of I am, there is a self-cognition, and this I sense identified with the body, mind, sense complex is said to be Ahankara. Ahankara. So manifest consciousness with the body, mind, sense complex alone is given the qualification Ahankara, given the title Ahankara. So here, this I sense, this manifestation of consciousness from the manifesting medium, body, mind, sense complex cannot be physically separated. You cannot physically separate the manifest consciousness. How you cannot separate the light, reflected light, from the opaque thing? In the presence of an opaque thing, light gets the name reflected light. You cannot separate the light. Even though light has nothing to do with the opaque thing, opaque thing has nothing to do with the light. Two different things, till light is inseparable from the opaque thing. Opaque thing is inseparable from the light, because only in the light the opaque thing has to shine. Similarly here, the Atma the consciousness is independent. So it is there. But this, the matter enjoying its existence in consciousness alone, is in the form of innumerable countless bodies of countless species, which Krishna said in the previous verse. And here, as a human being, this, the uniqueness about the human being is that he has not just self-existence in terms of I am. And this I sense, if there is no I sense, there is no Ahankara. No animal has Ahankara. There's no such a thing called Ahankara on the part of cat or dog or anything. There's no Ahankara. What's Ahankara here? Identity with the body, mind, sense complex must be there. Only you can call it Ahankara. So the body, mind, sense complex with the manifestation of consciousness, with the conscious and alive, he has said to be Ahankara. So every individual human being is nothing but we can say Aham and Ahankara. What is Aham? If you say Aham, the innermost essence, nothing but consciousness. So consciousness, and with its own manifestation, with the manifesting medium, the body mind complex, is said to be an individual human being. Any individual being. But these animals don't have this ahankara. Animals have consciousness. Of course, consciousness is all pervasive. It is there in living beings, non-living things, everywhere. But still, animals do not have ahankara, means they do not have identity. Because they do not have not just self-existence. Therefore, there is no ahankara on the part of the human beings, the animals. Whereas a human being alone having this special, unique knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am, there is ahankara possible. And his I sense is there. But his I sense, if it is distinguished and differentiated from the body, mind, sense complex, what is this I sense? And you will definitely find out the truth of the I sense being consciousness. If you arrive at the truth of the I sense being consciousness, you will resolve the I sense in the consciousness, then there is, you are Nirgunaha Atma. Sakshi. It is possible for I sense to be identified with the body, mind, sense complex or with the consciousness Atma. It is possible. But in ignorance, what happens naturally, because of the close proximity, I sense becomes identified with the body, mind, sense complex, then you give the whole name Ahankara. Okay? I sense is Ahankara. I sense identified with the body, mind, sense complex is Ahankara. The body, mind, sense complex always Ahankara. Sthula Shariram, Sukhna Shariram, Karna Shariram, all these abode of enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment, all of them with the manifestation of consciousness in terms of I am is what? Ahankara only. Now we have Ahankara and Sakshi. Individual, what is an individual? Technically, you can say every individual is a combination, mixture of Sakshi, Chaitanyam and Ahankara. It's another way of putting it. What is an individual? If you ask, you can easily say Sakshi, Chaitanyam and Ahankara together constitute an individual. Sakshi, Chaitanyam alone, consciousness alone cannot become an individual. Because consciousness is the only truth of the whole. But the anatma, body, mind and complex alone cannot become an individual. Because without manifestation of consciousness, it is like a piece of rock or a piece of wood. There's no individuality, is not possible. Individuality is only because of the manifestation of consciousness. And consciousness implied by the term Atma is said to be Nirgunaha. Nirgunaha means what? Free from all gunas. Consciousness has no guna. But consciousness is the truth which lends existence for the power, lends existence for the gunas, lends existence for the matter in the form of gunas. Three gunas are nothing but a name given to the matter only. So here, unless a person, until the person discovers this Nirguna Atma, Nirguna Atma, if his identity is with the Saguna Anatma, then he is a bound person. When he shifts his identity from Anatma, Saguna Atma, Saguna Anatma to Nirguna Atma, then he discovers his freedom. That is why Krishna begins his 14th chapter saying, in the very opening verse, what did he say? In the very opening verse, we saw him saying, the beautiful verse we saw, in the very opening verse, he said, many, many sages became free. This is how I'm going to start. Okay? He said, opening verse, he said, itah par siddhim itaha gataha, param siddhim itaha gataha. Parasiddhi, people accomplished the absolute success. Paramsiddhim itaha gataha, having lived in this world as human beings and being endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, having discovered this Sakshi Chaitanyam, being distinct from this Ahankara, body, mind, sense complex, those people accomplished the absolute success in terms of moksha. Param siddhim itaha gataha. From here. Param Siddhim Gataha Gataha. And how he said, because they understood the, they have the absolute wisdom. Jnananam Uttamam Jnanam. So Krishna said that in the very beginning, let me tell you what is this absolute wisdom by gaining which you can become free from this bondage. You also can become absolutely successful like many other people, many other Mahatmas. So he says all that we need to know is you need to distinguish the Nirguna Atma from Saguna Anatma. Distinguishing the Nirguna Atma from Saguna Atma and this, that thereby seeing the Nirguna Atma being free from bondage, being free from everything is the Jnanam. But the most difficult thing is we are not able to distinguish. So if this is what the individual human being is, Sakshi plus Saksha Anatma Gunas. Nirguna Sakshi, then Saguna Anatma, body mansions complex, together constitute what we say, constitute the individual. Atma and Ahankara. Aham and Ahankara together constitute an individual. But the thing is, the whole samsara is centered on I. Where is the bondage? This problem of being born again and again and again, choicelessly, and being ended with the body mind complex. Okay, saying some yoni or the other, it's through some womb, assuming some form. This choicelessly, we are all born here. This birth doesn't come to an end. The birth is beginningless. Death is endless. The birth is also always there. Death is there. In between birth and death, these modifications, changes are also there. And one has to go through pairs of opposites also. This life does not come to an end. It's very important to understand this life has no end at all. This is called life of transmigration. It is going to be there continuously forever. It has been there from beginninglessly. It is going to be there endlessly also. That's why they say there's a samsara. Huh? This samsara is going to be there. But the thing is, as a human being, very strong resistance about what? Against. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through afflictions. I don't want to go through pain. I do not want undesirable situations. I do not want pain. And then I do not want to die. I don't want death. I don't want pain. I don't want anything undesirable. I don't want sorrow. But I want happiness. This is something is there. This is something is there on the part of every human being. But what Shastram says, what you want is perfect. What you want is happiness. What you want is the peace. What you want is sorrowlessness. Don't want sorrow, that is fine. But you cannot have, I want to have life with the body, mind, sense complex. At the same time, I want to be happy always. It is not possible. I have to tell you something bitter, okay? Many people will not like this. You will not be, see, you to escape free, to become absolutely free from pain and affliction, suffering, you have to avoid the very birth. If I say people will not like it, it needs maturity. You know, you have to escape. This is satyam. That is why we don't tell this in the very first, until you come to the 14th chapter, don't talk about it. You know, videha muktihi means what? Videha muktihi means you must be free from the very body mansions complex. Must avoid assuming the body. Only then nitya nirantara sukham is possible. Otherwise, I want to have body mansions complex. At the same time, I want to have permanent happiness. That is impossible. But even if you have the body mansions complex, at least if you are object, if you have objectivity, you can enjoy that freedom, which is called Jivan Mukti. Okay. In having the body mindsense complex also, if you can be objective towards your own body mindsense complex, then that is you can be free. You can have Jivan Mukti. Freedom while living you can enjoy. But that freedom also you cannot enjoy forever. You know why? One day Parabdha will come to an end, body will fall apart. Some people like this also, this idea. I want to have Jivan Mukti and I want to continue to be here forever. I want to have Jivan Mukti. Okay, I'm free, but I want to enjoy this body, mind, sense complex forever. That is not possible. Why? Because body will come to an end. Body has to fall apart. Body will fall apart. Body, that is the very nature of the matter. That is the law pertaining to the matter. It has to fall apart. Anyway, it is not very, somehow retaining the body forever is impossible. Yes, right? That is gunas are subject to change. Gunas will change, means matter change. See, we understand the matter itself with a different language, the different names. Whether you understand matter as five elements, whether you understand matter as, subtle matter and the gross matter, whether you understand matter as in terms of three gunas. In this chapter, they're going to understand the matter in a different language using the name three gunas. Instead of calling it prakriti, maya, subtle matter, gross matter, etc., para prakriti, apara prakriti, etc., here you're going to understand the matter in terms of a different technical name is what? Three gunaha. Understanding three gunas and nothing but understanding the matter. So here, why I have to tell you all these things? This mokshaha, Shastra makes it, this freeing oneself from this ahankara. Ahankara means what now? This body, mind, sense complex with the manifestation of consciousness is said to be ahankara. Okay? You must understand ahankara itself very clearly. First I said ahankara means I sense the knowledge of self-existence identified with the body, mind, sense complex is called ahankara. Another name for ahankara is what? The same body, mind, sense complex with the I sense is what? Ahankara. The manifestation of knowledge is called ahankara. Some people use the term reflected consciousness. Puja Swamiji prefers the term manifestation of consciousness. So consciousness manifests in the body, mind, sense complex, which means this is the ahankara. Naturally, so when this body, mind, sense complex itself is taken as the meaning of the word I, what are you? Who are you? The question is asked. Naturally, your identity is with us, strongly with this body, strongly with this mind, strongly with the sense organs, and that you want to have, helplessly you have this. This identity, wrong identity, helpless identity is what causes the bondage. That is why Krishna said, in the second verse we saw, next verse he said, what is that which really binds a person with this vyathanti? What is it which binds this with the person with this body mind complex is ignorance. It is lack of discriminative understanding of what is nirguna atma and what is saguna prakriti. What is nirguna atma? If we are able to understand the inseparable, non-distensible, all-pervasive nirguna atma, we're able to distinguish and cognitively distinguish, understand that nirguna atma as the self, then you are free from bondage. Then there's no more bondage. Mind will resolve for good. So Krishna said in the very first verse, idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmyam agataha. You saw this verse also, already we have seen this. Why I'm repeating? Because I'm taking you again. Idam jnanam, only then I can really take you properly from the classes. Idam jnanam upashritya. See, ashrayaha is important word here. Ashrayaha means shrayaha. The verb is shrayati. Shrayati means surrenders, takes refuge. Shrayati. Ashrayati. Upa ashrayati. Ashrayati, upa ashrayati. upashritya. So having taken refuge in this knowledge, or having surrendered themselves to this knowledge, pursuit of jnanam, idam jnanam upashritya. Only when you surrender yourself to the knowledge, surrendering oneself to the pursuit of knowledge means what? This is very important. Only then I can take you ahead. Jnana upashrayaha. See, we do surrender to Bhagavan. We do worship Bhagavan. We pray to Bhagavan. We take refuge in Bhagavan. We surrender to Bhagavan. We surrender to so many things. We surrender to money. We surrender to order. We surrender to beauty. We surrender to, we offer ourselves to something. But here Bhagavan says, upashrayaha. The totally one has to surrender oneself to the pursuit of jnanam. Why? Because there's no way of freeing yourself from bondage. Okay? You cannot escape being born again. You cannot escape being subject to death. So death will be inevitable. Birth will be inevitable. As we already saw in the first, second chapter, the life will be continuous. In between birth and death, you do not know what punya papa you have in your account. According to punya papa, you will be going through the life of pains and pleasures. I tell you what, in spite of, irrespective of whatever, how much of punyam you earn in this life. Please listen, this chapter is a very different chapter. I have to prepare you a lot to take you to the next level. Okay, next class. That I'm repeating today. So, what I'm saying, this, whatever I go through in this present life, something irrespective of, in spite of, whatever good karma I do, how much of punyam I earn, okay, this is something different, irrespective of that. So that at least you become qualified for jnana. Otherwise, this birth and this death cannot be avoided. Which means bondage will be continuous. What is that which, if at all you want to free, Krishna says, mama sadharmyam agataha. Because ignorance causes the problem. If ignorance causes the problem, whatever you do cannot remove ignorance. Therefore, as long as you remain ignorant of what is nirguna atma, how atma is free from the three gunas, okay, that unless you understand, you cannot help having the ahankara. Your identity with the body, mind, and complex is unavoidable, which means you will continue to be an ahankara. So from being an ahankari, discovering yourself being a sakshi. This is the difference, okay? From being an ahankari, from being an egoistic person means what? Having identity with the body, mind, and complex itself is being an egoistic person. Okay? Egoistic means nothing. Now you need not be highly arrogant and all. Just having identity with the body, mind, and complex, not being able to be objective towards your body, mind, and complex itself is what? Ahankara only. Which means you are not able to see your own surupam properly. You're not able to objectively see what is. What am I? What is this? Once you see I am Sakshi, you can see there's no anatma other than Sakshi. There's no Sakshi also. You can just say what is the only, this is the truth. So it is very important. There's no way of escaping this from this bondage at all unless and until you attain this jnanam. Nirguna Atma Jnanam is important. To attain the Nirguna Atma Jnanam, you have to distinguish the Nirguna Atma from Saguna Prakriti. Saguna Prakriti. Saguna Ahankaraha. Ahankara means the body, mind, and complex which has manifestation of consciousness is Ahankara. From here you have to shift. That is why he says, Jnana, Jnanam Samashritya means what? This is where you understand if ignorance is the problem. If I had to relieve myself from the problem of samsara, I have how many means are there? How many goals are there? How many paths are there? That is why all paths lead to the same goal. That is very wrong. All paths lead to the same goal. It's something people love it. Okay, nice to hear also. But the fact is, if ignorance is the problem, causes the problem, all that you want is only jnanam. Okay, only jnanam you need. Because ignorance has to be resolved. How are you going to resolve your ignorance? For resolving ignorance, you need only jnanam. Why I'm repeating this, you may think something is repeated. But it's very important this kind of, for ajnana nivritti, jnanam is the only sadhanam. You must be convinced of that here. If jnanam is the only sadhanam, and what will you surrender yourself to? To jnanam. Okay, I want jnanam, I want only jnanam, I want to know what is real. I want to know what is an atma which is free from three gunas, which is not at all touched, untainted by the gunas and the gunas, the modifications of gunas. What is that nirguna atma? I need to understand. Only then, only in the wake of the clear vision of that nirguna atma, you can be objected towards this saguna prakriti in terms of ahankara. That is when ahankara will be resolved. You will see there's no ahankara afterwards. Once you discover the nirguna atma, sakshi, chaitanyam, ahankara will be resolved in that vision. Then you have freedom. That is what is freedom. There's no way of freeing yourself from bondage. Therefore, if that is the thing, once you know the value of the knowledge, if you become committed to this pursuit of this jnanam, that is what is said to be jnana samashrayaha. Jnana upashrayaha, jnana samashrayaha. In Vaishnava Sampradaya, they say the first level of spiritual sadhana, they say samashrayaha. You have to go to the teacher and they'll give the teacher, the guru will give a mantra upadesha. He'll teach, okay, start living like life like this. It's called samashraya. Then they give saranagati also. This is steps are there. So, jnanam upashritya, upa-ashritya, jnanam upashritya means totally having surrendered themselves to the pursuit of jnanam. I have surrendered myself to the knowledge, which means what? It's called jnana upashrayaha. Jnana upashrayaha, jnanam upashritya. And such people who have surrendered themselves to the pursuit of jnanam, what happened to those people? Jnanam upashritya, mama sadharmyam agataha. Okay, people, once they surrender themselves to jnanam, they have to attain jnanam. Okay, commitment is the pursuit of jnanam, they will attain jnanam. Once they attain jnanam, what happens then? First thing what they will discover is they will see themselves being non-different from Bhagavan. Non-separate from Bhagavan. See, I am non-different from Bhagavan. Bhagavan is non-different from me. Which means they will understand all that is, there is only Bhagavan. Okay? They will see this knowledge manifest in the body, mind, and complex is the only manifestation of the only reality knowledge. Okay? You cannot break this. Like parts, just as part space is not really broken space. Part space is not divided space. Indivisible, undivided space alone, as though divided, gets the name part space. Similarly here also, undivided manifest knowledge alone, as though indivisible manifest knowledge alone, as though divided, as though jiva. Is the, where is the jiva? You just, what is, how do you call jiva? Jiva is a qualification attributed to the manifest consciousness obtaining in body, given body minus complex. Whereas, exactly like space obtaining in a pot enclosure, space obtaining within the pot enclosure is given the name pot space. Only given the name from the standpoint of the pot, because really speaking, there's no pot space at all. There's only space. Similarly here, there is no jivatma. There's no jivatma. The consciousness manifesting the body, mind, sense complex. Identified with the body, mind, sense complex. Anatma, this trigunatmik is alone said to be auto ahankara. This is only one knowledge. It's not divisible. So just as space is indivisible, so also this knowledge manifest in individual is indivisible from the knowledge manifest in all other individuals. And even if it is not manifest also, there is knowledge everywhere. What is only jnanam. This is a very big leap in understanding. Therefore, this when a person understands, once you surrender yourself to, commit yourself to the pursuit of jnanam, jnanam upashritya, what happens once you, then you will attain jnanam. Once you attain the jnanam, in the light of the knowledge, what is another fact you will see? Mama sadharmyam agataha. Bhagavan says, mama sadharmyam agataha means what? You are one with Bhagavan. You have the attribute of Bhagavan means what? You have the attribute of Bhagavan means you are as good as Ishvara, which means you are non-different from Ishvara. Essentially, absolutely, you are non-different from Ishvara. Even now, you are non-different from Ishvara, essentially. Then why Jiva, individual, Ishvara status difference comes? The difference is only in the Upadhi. Upadhis are Anatma, Upadhis are the three gunas. Three gunas alone are in the form of the Upadhis. Ishvara Upadhi is Sattva Pradhana Upadhi. Jiva Upadhi is Ajav Pradhana Upadhi. Ava Pradhana Upadhi. What a difference is in the Upadhis. Otherwise, essentially, you are Ishvara. You are already Ishvara. Even if you do not know, you are Ishvara. Whether the wave knows or not, wave is water. Similarly, wave is not different from ocean. Similarly, you are not different from Bhagavan, Ishvara, the whole. Essentially, you are Bhagavan. Upadhis alone have the problems. Difference is in Upadhi. And Upadhi is Mithya. Upadhi is Mithya. Ishvara Upadhi is Mithya. Jiva Upadhi is Mithya. Okay, there's no difference. So here all that you need is Jnana Upashrayaha. Commitment to the pursuit of Jnanam is important. Oh, that is there. And once you discover the truth, then what happens? Mama Sadharmyam Agataha. People become one with me. You have Ishvara status. Then once you have Mama Sadharmyam Agataha, then what happens such people? For them, Bhagavan says, you commit the surrendering oneself to Jnanam will result in the attainment of Jnanam. In the light of which you will see the fact of yourself being non-different from Bhagavan. Thereby, what is the benefit then? Sargepi na upajayante. Then there will be Mahapralaya, there'll be Pralaya. Okay, there'll be Mahapralaya, there'll be Srishti. There'll be Srishti happening, Mahapralaya will be happening. Constantly, universe will be becoming manifest and unmanifest constantly. In all those situations, you will not assume a body. You will not assume body means what? Again, there will not be affliction. There won't be any more affliction. Sargepina upajayante pralayepina vyathanticha. They will not be born again at the time of Srishti. They will not be born. And then they will not be subject to any affliction or death also at the time of dissolution or deluge. There is no world will be coming and going, but as an individual, when you discover, you definitely escape from this cycle of births and deaths. That Krishna promises in the very second verse. So sargepina upajayante pralayepina vyathanticha. So at the time of dissolution also they will not be afflicted. At the time of creation also they will not be born again. Why they will not be born again? Because they have become one with Ishvara. How they have become one with Ishvara? Because they have attained jnanam. How did they attain jnanam? Because they surrendered themselves to jnanam. It's called jnana upashrayaha. Amazing. This is called Krishna teaches how to don't surrender to any individual. Don't surrender yourself to anything else. Surrender yourself totally to the pursuit of jnanam. Okay. Surrendering oneself to the pursuit of jnanam is surrendering oneself to Bhagavan in real sense. Without surrendering oneself to the pursuit of jnanam, If you say 100 myself to Bhagavan, you have not really surrendered to Bhagavan. Okay? What is real surrender? Real surrender is made very clear here. What is real surrender? Absolute surrender is after the attainment of jnanam. Until you attain jnanam, if you surrender yourself to the pursuit of jnanam, then that is real surrender. Okay? Krishna says, surrendering oneself to Bhagavan means what? Surrendering oneself to the pursuit of jnanam. Jnanam upashritya. Jnana upashrayaha is emphasized in the second verse. Is it clear? I'm taking you step by step now. So, jnana upashrayaha. What is the benefit of jnana upashrayaha? If you surrender yourself to the jnanam, then you will have you have the vision of yourself being non-different from Bhagavan. Once you discover that yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, then what will happen? Jnana upashrayaha mama sadarvim agataha. Once you have that vision of yourself being non-different from Bhagavan, then what you have? The benefit. Na sarge na vyathan, sarge na upajayante. Again, there's no possibility of assuming a body at all. Shastram gives the guarantee. Okay? Shastram promises you, you will not assume the body again. Therefore, there will not be such a problem of being born again. Therefore, there will not be the problem of having to die also. You will become free from both bondage of birth and death. The Shastram promises. In this second verse. So why should you know now? Therefore, Bhagavan's expectation is, be very clear. Individual human being. Here, Jiva, Ishra, Surupa, Aikyam will be clear once the Jiva Surupa becomes very clear. You don't need to work hard. Jiva Surupa has to become very clear. Jiva Surupa means, in discovering the Jiva Surupa, you will find that there's no Jiva at all. You know, there's no Jiva. Where is the Jivatma? There's neither Paramatma nor Jivatma. What is only the reality implied by the term Atma. Okay? There's only Atma. There's only Atma. There's not even Paramatma. There's no Jivatma. Parama is simply added to the Atma to say in terms of absoluteness. How Bhagavan is, the Paramatma means the reality is the absolute. Only in the sense of absoluteness, we say Paramatma. Otherwise, what is only Atma? Atma alone is said to be Paramatma. There's no Jiva at all, really speaking. What is only Paramatma? Only Atma. That become very clear. For that, listen. Then the third verse, he says, having promised that first, made very clear, what instruction has been made very clear. Only then Bhagavan will begin his teaching. He will not begin the teaching unless and until you accept what he says. What it means, what he says, jnana upashrayaha. Okay, surrender yourself to the pursuit of jnanam, then discover yourself being non-separate from me, then free yourself from bondage of birth and death. That's all. If that is okay for you, the next we can further proceed further. That's what he says in the next verse. He says, then he slowly introduces the teaching in the third verse. What did he say then? Mamayonihi mahat brahma tasmin garbham dadamyaham. So first he says there, again Ishvara concept is made very clear in the third verse itself. He says, aham garbham dadami. When Bhagavan says aham garbham dadami, what does he mean? I aham garbham dadami. When Krishna says, I have the whole jagat in my womb. All beings in my womb. Garbham dadami means I support the whole jagat. The whole jagat just as there is something exists outside. Just as the fetus is in the womb, well protected, not outside of the womb. Also here, the whole material jagat, trigunatmika prakriti, the entire Prakriti is not outside of Bhagavan. He says, Aham Garbham Dadami, when Bhagavan says, please make it a point, very important, then I can proceed further. He says, Aham Garbham Dadami. Dadami. It's not Dadami. Dadami means I give. But Dadami means I place. I place means what? I support. I place here. So, Aham Tasmin Garbham Dadami means I place, means I lend life. I lend life to what? To this Prakriti. I lend life to the Prakriti. So, Mama, that, and that Prakriti, which borrows its life from me, then what now becomes the whole Jagat. So that's why the Prakriti, which alone becomes the whole Cosma, which alone is in the form of the whole Jagat, is said to be Mahat Mama, Mahat Brahma. The only material, the only cause of the whole Jagat is Prakriti. Without Prakriti, there cannot be Jagat. And that Prakriti, which is the Karanam, Jagat is Karyam. Prakriti is the Karanam, Jagat is the Karyam. Cause and effect. So you cannot separate the effect of the Jagat from the Karyam Prakriti. So the matter is exactly like the golden ornament or clay and pot. What is Prakriti? The Prakriti obtaining in the form of elements, again, is not the elemental universe. Elemental universe is non-different from the elements. The Prakriti obtaining in the form of elements. The elements alone are in the form of the elemental universe. Which means that Prakriti, Bhagavan says, Mama Yonihi, that is my womb. Okay? And that is great. Why it is great? There's no second thing. The whole, everything is matter. Everything is Trigunas. There's nothing which is not Prakriti here. Everything is Maya. Everything is Prakriti. Everything is Trigunas. Your Krishna says, Mama Yonihi Mahad Brahma. Means this Prakriti is my womb. Why Prakriti is my womb means what? Prakriti is the cause, which alone becomes the effect in terms of the Jagat. But Prakriti by itself cannot become the Jagat. See, please understand. It's a very important lesson. Prakriti is the cause, universe is the Jagat is the effect. It's exactly like what all these innumerable countless forms and names which you're seeing, all these forms are modifications of Prakriti only. How all the ornaments are modifications of gold, the whole Jagat is nothing but modifications of Prakriti. So cause and the effect, okay? The effect is non-different from the cause, means everything is Prakriti, 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 Prakriti. They say Prakriti means what? Everything is matter. Everything is matter means what? Everything has Trigunas. Whether it's a living being or a non-living thing, you can say ocean is Trigunas, mountain is Trigunas, the living beings are Trigunas, non-living things are Trigunas. Any living creature from unicellular organism onwards, anything and everything is nothing but Trigunas. Everything has Trigunas here. The whole material world of forms, names and functions have Trigunas. Okay, Trigunas here. There's nothing which is not, that is why you don't have to go and search for Trigunas. Triguna means what? You look at your own body, Triguna. Your mind is Trigunas. Your sense organs are Trigunas. What you're touching is Triguna. What you're seeing is Triguna. What you're hearing is Triguna. Everything has Trigunas here. Why? Everything is matter here. But for this matter, Maya, the Shakti, the matter to become the world, it needs what? It needs the blessing of consciousness. Without the blessing of consciousness, matter will become non-existent. You understand what I'm saying? The matter will be non-existent without the blessing of consciousness, Atma. Therefore, Krishna says, Mahadyonihi means what? This Prakriti is Mahadyoni. This Prakriti is big womb. Mahat Brahma, my yoni, Bhagavan says, because Bhagavan's presence itself, Bhagavan in the form, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, lends existence by mere presence, not by doing anything. Existence to the Prakriti, that lending existence to Prakriti is what? lending life to the Prakriti, lending all powers also to the Prakriti. Prakriti without the blessing of consciousness, Prakriti cannot express, no Shakti can be expressed. No Shakti can be expressed. Even the capacity to know, the capacity to act, Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, no Shakti can exist without the blessing of consciousness. You know, it is the blessing of consciousness. How does consciousness bless? Not by doing something, by mere presence. Okay, Sannidhi Matrena Anugrannati. Sannidhi Matrena Anugrannati. Not by doing something. Kimapi Kritvana Anugrannati. Consciousness need not do anything to bless. Presence itself is a blessing. See, for any opaque thing, presence of light is a blessing to come to light. Like that, here we say, this Prakriti, he, the inexplicable, the matter also is inexplicable. Okay, Anirvachaniya. Why Anirvachaniya matter? Anirvachaniya means non-definable, inexplicable. Why you can't explain it? Because, can I say Prakriti as reality? No. I cannot say Prakriti as reality because there is a time Prakriti disappears. Prakriti has no independent existence at all. Okay? Therefore, can I say Prakriti is not there? No, because I am experiencing all the time Prakriti. Prakriti is anirvachaniya. Maya is anirvachaniya. Means inexplicable, non-definable. You cannot say it is real. You cannot say it is not real also. Is it real? No. Because it is not there always. Is it unreal? No. It is not unreal because I'm experiencing it. If you cannot say it is neither real nor unreal, means what? That is why it's given a different name, Mithya. Okay? Mithya. That if therefore, this Prakriti alone is the, Prakriti alone becomes the whole Jagat. This five elemental model universe. Nothing but Prakriti only. But for this Prakriti to become the Jagat, it is dependent on the blessing of consciousness. Therefore, Krishna says, Mama Yonihi Mahat Brahma. No, my womb. Okay, my womb is what? This great Prakriti. In this Prakriti, because because the blessing, what happens? As though it is a womb. Prakriti is like a womb. There I place my seed. When Bhagavan says what it means, placing the seed means becoming manifest in Prakriti, then lending consciousness and sentience to the Prakriti, lending life to the Prakriti, lending existence to the Prakriti, thereby Bhagavan alone shines above the whole material world of forms, names and functions. Do you get what I'm saying? See, I want to see this. There's no real, we should not take it as literally, take it as a womb and then placing seed and all those things, not like that. Please don't take anything literally. It is no placing seed, there's no nothing. What Bhagavan says, see, light brings the gold to existence means, in the presence, suppose, imagine, there's a piece of wood. You see a raw piece of wood. That wood, to be known, that wood is needs what? Light. And you convert the wood into a chair, wooden chair. Wooden chair or wood by itself, both are dependent on light for to come to light. Isn't it? Cause and the effect. Similarly, matter and the material world, elemental world, doesn't exist independently. Outside of consciousness, which is Atma. That is why Krishna says, Mama Yonihi Mahat Brahma, this amazing matter is now my womb. There I place my seed, means Aham Garbham Dadami, which means only I lend existence, thereby what happens? Sambhavaha, Sarva Bhutanam Sambhavaha Bhavati. I like this word, Sarva Bhutanam Sambhavaha Bhavati. Origination of all beings happen. Origination of all beings, living beings, non-living things, mobile beings, immobile beings, actions, results of actions, laws governing the results of actions, experiences, pairs of opposites, that everything originates only because Bhagavan in the form of knowledge lends life. Bhagavan in the form of the manifest knowledge lends consciousness, sentiency, lends existence to the very matter. You got it now? This is very important. Without the cause itself is dependent on Bhagavan only. Therefore, the effect is dependent on Bhagavan. Tasmin garbhadhan. So it is because of this matter alone becomes the whole jagat. Consciousness does not undergo any change. Nirvikaraha, anadihi, anantaha, nirvikaraha, it's not object to change. Consciousness does not undergo any change or whatsoever. But still, how the whole jagat comes into existence? What is this? How all these varieties of beings? So, all these beings, origination of sarva bhutanam, he says, sarva bhutanam sambhavaha tataha bhavati. So, origination of all beings happen only because of this prakriti. This prakriti, but for this prakriti to become the whole jagat, what is important? I have to lend existence. So, Bhagavan placing his seed means Bhagavan lending existence to matter. Is it clear now? How does Bhagavan lend existence? Not by doing something. Just being the knowledge. Just by mere presence. What is Bhagavan's swarupa? Okay, there's no Bhagavan other than the reality. This reality which is of the nature of knowing, becoming manifest by its mere presence becomes manifest. Exactly like light becomes reflected in the presence of the opaque thing. Light does not need to do any action. Mere presence of the light becomes reflected in the presence of the opaque thing. So also Bhagavan in the form of pure knowledge becomes manifest, okay, in the presence of the matter. Therefore, only matter, how many things are there? You reduce the whole jagat into one word, matter, prakriti. What is this whole jagat? Matter. All the material elementals can be reduced to one word, matter. You can go to a jewelry shop, you can just say, tell, what are so varieties of ornaments? What are they? This shop has only one thing called gold. You can say that. It's a gold jewelry shop. You can say only one thing. You don't need to count the ornaments, okay? How many ornaments are there? How many chains are there? How many bangles are there? What is the weight of all the bangles and jewelry, etc.? You can just say, what is here in the shop is only one thing. What is that? Gold. Is it right or wrong? Says it to say it. If you want to play, you can play. Okay, you can sit and count. Okay, how many chains, how many designs, how many ornaments, how many bangles, how many rings, how many. You can count. But really speaking, you don't need to count. They all can be reduced to one word, gold. Similarly, living beings, non-living things, mobile beings, immobile beings, active beings, inactive beings. You can reduce the whole jagat to one word, matter, prakriti. Trigunatmika prakriti. Okay? That prakriti, we are going to understand the gunas later. So that prakriti, whole prakriti. But this prakriti, that gold, without the touch of the goldsmith, cannot become ornaments. At least goldsmith has to do some work. But here, reality, we give the name Bhagavan. Okay? The reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, just by its presence, becoming manifest in the presence of the matter. Okay? Manifest becomes what? The manifest knowledge manifest in matter, consciousness or knowledge manifest in matter alone is said to be what? Ishvara. By mere presence becomes manifest. Is it get thereby? If there's no such a thing called consciousness at all, the matter would not have had the status of being existent. Okay, matter would have become as good as non-existent. What lends existence for matter is the consciousness. Therefore, Krishna says what? Sarva bhutanam sambhavaha tataha. Tataha bhavati sarva bhutanam sambhavaha. The origination of all beings are from matter only. But it is possible because of my manifestation. Krishna says, okay, because of Bhagavan's manifestation. This is all you have to understand, the two factors. Therefore, originally, what are the two factors? There is manifestation of knowledge and matter, we say. Therefore, every individual also is what now? Every individual, everything in the universe is two factors. Two inseparable factors constitute every individual being also. So, we technically, we say Sakshi Chaitanyam Sakshya. The witnessed body imagines complex and the witnessing consciousness. Witnessing consciousness is Sakshi Chaitanyam, Atma, which is the content of I. Otherwise, Ahankara is what? Witnessed body mind, witnessed conscious body imagines complex is Anatma is what? Ahankara. Witnessed conscious body imagines complex is Ahankara. And can you separate them, Sakshi and an Ahankara? You cannot separate. You cannot physically separate. Physical separation of Sakshi and, this Ahankara is not possible. But cognitive separation is possible. Cognitively, you can distinguish, differentiate, and understand. Cognitively, you can separate, not physically. Therefore, so Krishna says, Sarva bhutanam sambhava. How does this happen? Sarva bhutanam sambhavaha tataha bhavati. Why? Because I lend consciousness. When Krishna says I lend, but Bhagavan in the form of manifest knowledge. Okay, Bhagavan, who is essentially of the nature of consciousness, lends existence to matter. Consciousness lends life. Existence, sentiency to the matter. Therefore, all functions, all activities are possible. Therefore, even other productions, all products are also possible. Therefore, Krishna says, Mama sarva bhutanam sambhavaha bhavati. Because of my manifestation in terms of knowledge. Where? In the prakriti. Don't need to take it seriously as in a different way. Now Krishna says, therefore, in the fourth verse he says, Sarva yonishu kaunteya yaha murtayaha sambhavanti. Sarva yonishu. Now you can make out all Sanskrit ones, you can easily make it. Yaha murtayaha sarva yonishu sambhavanti tasam brahma. Mahadyonihi aham bija pradaha pita. Very nice, Sarva murtayaha, yaha murtayaha, sarva yonishu sambhavanti. Whichever, whatever murti's forms originate from the respective wombs of respective species. The monkey species, elephant and cow and frog and all of them, in different varieties of beings are there. In all of them, varieties of beings originate, isn't it? Varieties of species, innumerable countless species originate from their own respective wombs. From a human womb, a human being is born. From an animal womb, animal is born. Like that, there are innumerable countless beings originate from their respective wombs. Yaha murtayaha sarva yonishu sambhavanti. I have taken you from second verse to third verse to fourth verse now. Are you okay? Yeah. So then I can explain to you the following lessons. So yaha murtayaha sambhavanti sarva yonishu. So in all the wombs, in all the yonis, whichever, whatever forms originate, okay, for all the murtis, only one mother. Only how many your pots are made, okay? How many lids are made? Clay is the only matter, isn't it? Clay is only one substance. Clay is the only cause. Gold is the only cause how many ever ornaments are made. Similarly, the material cause, matter, is what? Only one Shakti, one power. Only one matter alone is in the form of five elements and the five elementals. Everything in the universe can be reduced to what now? Matter. All the forms can be reduced to matter. Sarva yaha murtayaha sarva yonishu sambhavanti. What are they? Yaha murtayaha. Yaha murtayaha sarva yonishu sambhavanti. Tasam mahat brahma. It is mahat brahma means what? Krishna says, Krishna really gives a great credit, no? Mahat brahma. Matter, prakriti is given the status of being the big, great matter. Mahat brahma. Prakriti is the great womb. Prakriti is the great womb means what now? There's nothing which exists outside of prakriti. Just as ornament is on outside, independent of the clay, just as ocean or wave is on outside of the water, so also no material product in the world outside of prakriti. All the physical forms, whatever murtis, whatever forms originate from different wombs, yaha murtayaha sambhavanti sarva yonishu. Tasam yonihi mahat brahma. Okay, for all of them, the original mother is what? Who? Prakriti only. Okay, only one matter becomes all living forms. Matter, not there's no difference. You can reduce everything into elements. Elements can be reduced to finally the matter only. Okay, doesn't matter. All living species, different wombs, different forms originate. All of them are. It is only one matter. But for that matter to become any species, okay, in order to originate as different species for that matter, it needs the blessing of consciousness, Atma. Is it clear? Therefore, Krishna says what? Aham bija pradaha pita. I am the father. I am like the father has to, transfer his seed for a female to have a form in the, to originate the form in the womb. Similarly here, it is not exactly like that. See, father has to lend existence. What this, how it is nature? What does the nature do? Father has to, without father, mother alone cannot become a, only one woman by her, any female being, cannot become a source of origination of forms. Definitely must be male. Male contribution must be there. At the same time, without male, female cannot do anything. Without female also, male cannot originate anything. Got it now? Male species, without support of the female also, cannot contribute for the creation of the beings. Male and female both must be involved for creating the beings. Similarly here, this world of material, world of forms, names and functions, and different innumerable countless beings of species, for them to come into being, originally what is there? Matter is there. And that matter, it is possible for the matter to divide, to become many, only because of the blessing of consciousness. Got it now? Therefore, Krishna says, aham bija pradaha pita means should not literally take it. We should not literally take it at all. So consciousness by itself does not become the jagat. Matter by itself cannot even exist. Never can become jagat. Jagat means there is experience of the universe, means it implies there are two inseparable factors. Consciousness and matter. Two inseparable factors, but still that of the two also, both are not taken to be of same order of reality. Both of them do not have the same order of reality. Even though people, other schools of, many schools of thought people, all of them, they argue. is they take matter and consciousness as two independent entities, whereas Vedanta doesn't accept it. Vedanta says, of course, that there must be two factors without which universe is not possible. The universe is means the two factors are involved here. See, if you, when you say opaque thing shines means definitely there must be light. The shining of opaque thing presupposes the light being already present. Similarly here, any opaque thing shines means the light must be there. So also entire world of inert material forms, the entire world of inert material forms can have the status of being existent, can shine only because of the blessing of consciousness, just the mere presence of consciousness, which is Atma. So that consciousness is the Swarupam of the Ishvara, Swarupam of the Jiva also. From the standpoint of the consciousness, with the Jiva Swarupam and Ishvara Swarupam, we say Jiva and Ishvara are essentially one. In fact, Pooja Swami doesn't like mere consciousness. He emphasizes manifest consciousness. Because Swami always gives importance for Ishvara. We have to talk, when Jagat is means all the Ishvara has come into the picture. Okay? So he says, Sarva Yonishi Yaha Murtyaha Sambhavanti, whatever beings originate from whichever womb, all of them absolutely have their existence only in the matter, and that matter doesn't have independent existence outside of consciousness. Therefore, Bhagavan says, I am the Bijapradaha Pita. Without my presence, there cannot be matter of the material forms. So, Aham Bijapradaha Pita. Have we made it clear or not? I might have been teaching might sound repetitive, but still, have you got it or not? Because the people, if you read the literal translation, golden egg, transferring seed, placing womb, it should not have any idea like really like a mother getting conceived, all those. That's why I'm repeating the thing, teaching. Okay. Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantiyaha tasam brahma mahadyonihi aham bija pradapita. Okay. Now the teaching, that introduction to the 14th chapter is over. Now actual subject matter of the 14th chapter begins from the 5th verse only. What does 5th verse introduce here? Sattvam rajastama iti guna prakruti sambhavaha nibadhanti mahabaho dehe dehi namauyayam. Okay. Sattvam, very important. That's why I wanted to repeat. Now I can say the teaching of the topic, the subject matter associated with the topic begins from this verse only. What does he say? See, he made very clear. Bhagavan Shastra makes it very clear. Don't search for too many things. There are only two factors. Of those two factors, the two factors together alone is given the Ishvara status. Is it clear now? Ishvara status. The ruler status is given. The consciousness manifest in the matter enjoys the status of being the Ishvara. Why? Because without consciousness, matter cannot even exist. So matter is dependent on consciousness for existence. Consciousness lends existence for matter. Therefore, consciousness manifest in the matter is looked upon as Ishvara. Whereas matter is dependent on consciousness. Therefore, matter is called Mithya. Okay, the two orders of the same reality. They are not looked upon as two different independent entities. Now, if this is very clear, then we can go ahead. What? Now he says, in the 5th verse, Sattvam rajaha tamaha iti prakriti sambhavaha gunaha. The three gunas known as sattvam, ghatta gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. What are these three gunas? I already said, the prakriti's the power of Prakriti manifested on three gunas. Prakriti Sambhavaha. And what do they do? What do they do here? Nibadhanti. They bind. They only contribute for this bondage. What is bondage? Why there is constantly birth? People ask the question, why there is creation? Why there is universe? Why there are people? Why there are other living beings? Why there is corona? Why there is suffering? Why there is affliction? Why there is pandemic? If you ask any why, you ask all these questions, where is anything? If you ask a question, why, for that question, answer has to be given, isn't it? Why it is all here means, you only say it is, where is it? Shastra will ask you like this. Therefore, why there is bondage? Why there is affliction? Why there is bondage? Why there is birth? Why there is death? And why there is suffering? All these questions come. To understand, you just have to see what is real, what is as though. If that is what is satyam, what is mithya has to be understood. If you understand here, then you lose what? You lose this sense, self-identity. Losing one's identity is what? Really losing oneself. Losing one's identity can happen in two ways. If you forget yourself, you lose your identity. If you do not know you are, you can lose your identity. But knowingly who you are also, you can lose your identity. You know that? Losing one's identity means losing one's individuality. Okay, how you can lose your identity? You have to forget yourself. Then you lose your identity. That happens. And that is not right, okay? That's not a very pleasant thing. Forgetting oneself. You have to become mad, that's all. If you don't know you are, see, keeping awake also, you can remain not knowing who you are. Not knowing you are. That's what is called madness. Okay? Unmattavat, unmattaha. Mad people, they don't even know that they are. That is the worst pain. So in madness or in sleep, in ignorance, you don't have identity. Otherwise, you can't help having identity. Identity is very natural thing. But here, in right identity, there is no pain. In non-identity, there is no pain. So here Krishna says in this verse, what he says, he is going to teach us now. It's very important to understand this. Sattvam rajaha tamaha iti gunaha prakriti sambhavaha. These gunas alone, nibadhanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam. So avyayam dehinam gunaha nibadhanti. These gunas alone contribute for bondage. How can gunas bind, contribute for bondage? Gunas do not bind consciousness. Consciousness is ever free. But, okay, wrong identity, not having a discriminative understanding of what is satyam, what is mithya. What is consciousness, what are the gunas? This lack of discriminative knowledge contributes for bondage. Neither the prakriti binds you, nor consciousness is the cause of bondage, nor consciousness gets bound. There's no bondage for consciousness. It's ever free. Matter also is not bound. But what is bondage? It contributes for the notion that I am bound. Okay? The bondage is in the notion only. There's no, neither matter is bound, nor consciousness is bound. But the notion that I am bound, that is the wrong notion, it contributes for bondage. That is caused by what? Three gunas. So he says, prakriti gunaha, three gunas are there. These prakriti gunas alone contribute for the bondage. Nibadhananti, dehe dehinam avyayam. They tie you with the body, mind, and complex. Okay? How you are tied, that's called bondage. You become bound. you become bound to the body, mind, sense, consciousness without your choice. Okay? Not that you wanted to have this body, but still you have it. This is called bondage, being helplessly caught up within this body, mind, sense, complex is what? Being bound to the body, mind, sense, complex. And as long as ignorance is there, this body, mind, sense, complex retain you, continue to retain you in bondage. Therefore, he says, Trigunaha, three gunas alone contribute, Nibadhnanti Dehe. Dehe Dehinam Nibadhnanti. Beautiful sentence. These gunas, prakriti sambhavaha gunaha. These tattvam gunaha, rajogunaha, tamogunaha are all products of prakriti. But these products of prakriti, what do they do? Even though they do not have independent existence of their own, even though they are mithya, because mithya products of mithya prakriti, still they bind a person. Which person? Dehinam. They bind the individual jiva. With what? With the body, mind, sense, compass. Dehe, in the body they bind. Dehe, dehinam, nibadhanti. They bind. Which means, you choicelessly, you are born again and again and again and again and again. You have no answer. Why repeatedly you are born again and again and again? That is, dehe, dehinam, nibadhanti, trigunaha. What contribute for the bondage? The three gunas alone are responsible for the dehi tied to the body. What is it? We'll see next class. So now I covered I repeated the first four verses to make it very clear. I really want to make it important to highlight, to show that how jnanashraya is important. I showed you that. Next class, we'll pick up the thread where we left. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.